And I'm very pleased to be joined in the studio now by Mark Hood, who's a borough and county councillor in Tunbridge for the Green Party. Thanks for coming in, Mark.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, Mark, I've asked you to come in mainly because of this disruption, major disruption to water supplies. Were you affected by the cutoff of water?
I was affected. We had a dribble of water coming out, but around me we had all sorts of trouble. So my community, we had people who didn't have water for 2 days, and then in the rest of my ward, in Judd Ward, they didn't have water reconnected until yesterday. So and when people are vulnerable and they need water, you know, it came as a shock. People were caught on the hop, and I think they should have had more notice.
Because the initial incident happened in Sevenoaks, I think, on Sunday night. But what do you think the South East Water should have done on that point?
Well, I'm surprised that if they had a power outage, they didn't have some kind of backup. I mean, the messaging has been a bit mixed, whether they had a backup and then the backup failed. And if that was the case, I know there's going to be a debrief, and we need to find out what can be put in place to make sure there's not a repetition of this. But we know that this is happening around Kent. We had it in Crowborough not so long ago. We had it in Pembury recently. So this is a recurring issue where they don't seem to have the infrastructure to deal with. All they've got to do, South East Water, is provide us with the supply, and they don't seem to be able to do that.
On the other hand, people in Tunbridge were saying, well, you know, I've lived here for 40 years. This is the first time I've lost my water supply. I mean, these things do happen, don't they?
They do happen. I think the most frustrating thing is the fact we didn't have any warning. The fact that South East Water, they seem to have kept this to themselves. If they'd have told us to reduce demand, try and eke out the supply that we had, we may have been able to keep a little bit more water in the pipes. We wouldn't have run dry. You wouldn't have had a situation where you had those air pockets, which have taken so long to clear. I think that's been a huge problem. They didn't set up the water bottle stations until Tuesday, but they knew about this on Sunday. So when I got hold of the officers at Tunbridge and Morling Borough Council, the emergency officer, he's great. He didn't know. He heard it from me. So this is a basic. We had all the schools in South Tunbridge were out, all the primary schools, all the secondary schools, other than one that had its own water tank. So lots of people had to rearrange their working day. It's an inconvenience. There should have been more notice. They could have done better with this. And hopefully with the debrief, they'll see what's happened, and they can put something in place to let us know. Because I'm sure this could have been managed a whole lot better.
And even if there's trouble restoring supply, as you say, the bottled water, there was only one distribution. They didn't seem to have a plan, did they, to distribute bottles of water?
They didn't have a plan. I mean, they opened up the one in Speldhurst, at the village hall, I think. And I was told that that was a little chaotic, getting in and out of there. They opened up one in Morley Road in Tunbridge, which was in an industrial estate, and then people were queuing up and people were trying to get to work because it's a working industrial estate, and tempers were flaring up. To their credit, Tunbridge and Morling arranged for the use of the Sovereign Way car park for the rest of this incident, which was great, and it worked a lot better. But yeah, it was...
But there needs to be more than one site. Everyone piling into one place unnecessary.
And it kept running out. So, and you had a situation where at one station you seemed to be able to turn up and take unlimited amounts of water, and at another you were only allowed 12 bottles, and you had to show proof of address to make sure you weren't taking too many. Which, you know, and so, you know, human nature is that people panic and they take more than they should sometimes, and it's an unenviable task to manage these things. I know, you know, hopefully we won't have a repetition of this, but lessons will be learnt.
So longer term, what is the Green Party's view on the structure of the water industry? We know there are some pretty dramatic increases in bills coming up.
Yeah, we think that this is completely unsustainable. So in a word, that's what the Green Party is about. And we've got a situation where we think all utilities should be in public hands. We think that water gas, electricity, the essentials, transport with the buses and trains. These kind of services should be run for subsistence, basically. They shouldn't be run for profit. And with this company, they're not running. They're not in profit. They've got a gargantuan debt. So they've got a £1.4 billion debt. So they've got a chief executive officer, Dave Hinton, who has been paid £280,000 a year. He's getting a bonus of £104,000 a year. What's the bonus for? Because this is a company that's failing. So we think that the government should be stepping in, and the same goes for Southern Water. These companies are failing. They've been failing for years.
But Mark, it's easy to say that, but there are shareholders. Britain's reputation around the world wouldn't go down well if it was nationalized. These companies were nationalized without compensation. They would cost. Wouldn't it cost the taxpayer a huge amount of money to buy these companies that obviously were nationalized at one point? Put them back into public ownership would cost far more money than there is than the British government can borrow at the moment.
Well, it's certainly a conundrum. But how can you have a situation where you've got companies which are owned by foreign investment companies? Macquarie own Southern Water. You've got a Canadian company owns Southeast Water alongside NatWest, and there's a third party that own it as well. But this, if you go into business, you've made an investment. What are they doing? What are those companies that have got their shareholdings in Southern Water and Southeast Water? What are they doing? Because it's their investment. So something's fundamentally wrong. The market isn't working. So the government needs to step in off what are asleep at the wheel. And we've got a situation where bills are going to go up by 20%, £120 on average a year for our customer, for their customers. So this is unsustainable. At what point do we say no, enough is enough? Something has to change. We can't go on like this.
Well, still with me in the studio is Mark Hood, who's a borough and county councillor for the Green Party in Tunbridge. And I thought we needed to spend a few moments on these big announcements by the Labour government about airports. What do you make of it?
I think that the government is completely obsessed with unsustainable growth, because that's what it is. And they're panicking. So I think that they are picking projects which they think are going to send messages to the business world, the financiers, that they can get big projects done, which is why they've announced not only the expansion of Heathrow, but the Lower Thames Crossing as well.
That's that £10 billion road, yeah. Which various experts, some think that it'll only relieve congestion for a few years before the road fills up again.
That is the opinion and policy of the Green Party in Kent as well. We think that it's a white elephant. We think it's going to relieve the amount of traffic on the Dartford Crossing, but only for about 5 years, and then we'll be in a worse position, because then you'll have built in more capacity for the crossing across between Kent and Essex, and then you're just going to have you're going to draw more traffic through Kent.
Maybe it's because they know that with the M25 having to be moved because of the extra runway, which is going to cause major disruption to the M25 west of London, maybe they think they want more people to go round through Kent east of London.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, the government's given the go-ahead for the London City Airport, I think Stansted. The previous government had given the go-ahead for reopening Manston. When we've got a climate catastrophe, like, it's happening around us. Los Angeles has been in flames. We've got wildfires all the way through Europe, and we're still opening new airports and creating more capacity. Look at Gatwick. I spoke against the Gatwick expansion.
To happen as well as Heathrow.
The mood music seems to be that they're going to increase Gatwick as well, and that's going to have knock-on effects for places like Tunbridge Wells. We know that the area of Horsham and around the airport there, there's pulmonary issues with people's health. It's a really short-sighted policy to be opening. We should be introducing frequent flyer levies to actually manage demand.
We don't want demand to be managed, do we? I know an awful lot of people who do like flying, and it is their one escape, their one form of entertainment. They may be in very small flats, and they want a bit of sun to make their lives better.
Yeah, they're actually not the people we're looking at. Those aren't the there's a small number of people who are making an extraordinary number of flights. We're not talking about people going on their annual holiday or even going twice a year on a holiday. It won't affect those. They're not the frequent flyers. It's the business and women who travel frequently, several times a month.
Yeah, is only about 10% of flights overall in Britain, isn't it? 90% is tourists, and most of the tourists are leaving the country, and they want to because the weather's terrible here.
That's a very good point. I mean, those people we're making it very easy. Look at aviation fuel; it's extremely cheap. It's not taxed, so we're actually incentivizing people to leave the country to spend their money elsewhere.
Doesn't help GDP.
No. What about staycations?
Another argument put forward by the government quite forcefully is that, and many of them have changed their minds about expanding Heathrow. They say we've now made great progress with sustainable aviation fuel.
Yeah, this is a white elephant. So sustainable aviation fuel, where are we going to grow the crops to provide that fuel? We're going to need, we've seen what happens when you have conflict in Europe with the Ukrainian conflict. We haven't got food security, so the price of wheat has shot through the roof. We need to make sure that we can produce as much food in the UK as possible. We're going to need every acre of agricultural land to provide the food for human beings. We can't provide additional crops to convert into aircraft fuel.
So you don't like the new Labour policy, but they've got this huge majority and they're going to get the planning consent, they think, before the next election. So you're not going to be able to stop it, are you?
No, but our job is to hold them to account. So, and that's what we'll do. We're going to lay out the science, because the science is incontrovertible. It is madness to be going down this route that they're taking. And it's, as I say, I think it's desperation. It's a bonfire of the regulations for planning, for the new airports. And it is, I think, chasing growth when we have a flatlining economy, there's another way. And this rhetoric about, oh, it's like a household budget. No, it's nothing like a household budget. That's not the way that a national economy works. We need to invest.
Well, I'm going to have to stop you there. I'm afraid we're running out of time. We will be talking to other councillors from other parties at roughly this time on Friday Drive Time here on West Kent Radio. Mark, thank you so much for coming in.
Super. Thank you very much.